So good to be with you. Yes, my name is Josh Wagner. It is such an honor to be able to share some about what the Lord has done in our hearts and what I believe He wants to do in the city of Indianapolis. But before we get started, I just want to say thank you to the Crosspoint family. About a month ago or so, you gave up eating a lot of good food for an entire week during Beans and Rice Week to raise money to plant 6 churches in Nepal and to help plant United City Church. $7,000 coming to United City. So thank you so much. I want you to know that you are an anomaly. Crosspoint is an anomaly. And here's one of the ways that you are different than most churches. Check this out. Only 4% of churches multiply and reproduce other churches. Okay, so 96% of churches don't do what you're doing. Only 4% of churches partner to start other churches. This is incredible that you are leading the way in this way. So thank you so much. But I also want to say that your pastor, Kurt, is an anomaly. Probably for some other reasons that I'm going to mention. But he is an anomaly. Let me tell you this. You know why only 4% of churches reproduce? Because the lead pastor is kind of afraid of helping to start other churches. That's one of the biggest reasons. Because that means money goes out the door. That means people go out the door. But here's the deal. Pastor Curry inviting me to come and share and even invite you to come along with United City Church, that is rare. Let me tell you how rare that is. It's one thing for a church to give money to a church plant. So we thank you so much for that. It's another thing to invite the church planter to come and share some of the vision. It's a further thing to have them share the vision and then invite some of the best and brightest of that congregation to leave to go start this church. And when I tell my church planting buddies about this, now check this out. I work with a project manager. He's helped plant about 80 churches. When I told him how Kurt is inviting me to come and bring leaders along, he can't believe it. I mean, that's awesome. So I want to say, you guys have a great pastor. Can you thank the Lord for Kurt? And here's what Scripture says about your pastor. They are worthy of double honor. So, and this is also what it says. So be good to your pastor. Make it easy on them. Don't be difficult, but follow the leadership and the vision of your pastor. So it's so good to be with you. So good to be partnering with Kurt. He's on my board actually for United City Church. So we had a meeting this last week. He has a consistent voice in what we're doing. It's been such a good voice. I would love to introduce you to my family via picture. My bride is here hanging out. My kids are in kids' church. So there's me, obviously. That's my bride, Nani. We've been married for about 11 years. And we've got 4 kiddos. So oldest is Blaze on the far right, and then switch to the other side. He's almost 6. Rossica is our only daughter. She's almost 4. Then Zeph is sitting on my lap. He's a little over 2. And then Athanasius is with Nani, and he's about 4.5 months. So our lives are crazy. And when you have Blaisdell, Rossica, Zephaniah, when you get to number 4, you can't go Carl. Okay, you can't go Joe or Bill. You gotta dig deep. And so we came up with Athanasius. So Athan for short. Our lives are pretty insane right now. I'm finishing up seminary, almost done. This close to being done with seminary. 3 weekends ago, we relocated from Fishers into Indianapolis. We obviously have this family, and then we're starting a church. And I think probably the most appropriate word for all of that is insane. It's been so crazy. I joked that a couple days ago. I was so tired. So much was happening. I woke up, had a little under 5 hours of sleep, and I did something I've never done in my entire life. Holding Zephaniah, I fell down the stairs. Now, he was okay, and I took Blaze out. But this is our lives. We even fall down the stairs, okay? But here's one of the things that I've found. In starting this new frontier, it's really easy for me to go, man, I'm just going to figure it out on my own. In my own strength, I'm going to do seminary. We're going to move. We're going to have our 4th baby. We're going to start a church. But you know what I've discovered pretty quickly? I can't do it in my own strength. I have to rely on the Holy Spirit and on our Father to empower and to guide and to help and to grant favor. And here's what you will find as you take forward steps in a new frontier. You will find that you may start it in your own strength, but pretty quickly you'll realize you need the Lord. And that is one of the reasons why God wants you to take a new frontier. Because of the kind of person you will become as you lead the way and take ground for the kingdom. Listen, it's really easy just to stay in a very comfortable place. I could have been a worship pastor my whole life, and I would have never been stretching myself and stretching my faith the way that planting a church is. And so, friends, for each one of you, what is the new frontier that God wants to lead you on? Because you will become closer to Christ and more like Christ and more reliant on God when you take a new frontier. So the new frontier we're taking is United City Church. And I'd love to share a little bit about this community, what we are all about. And so you may be wondering, okay, Josh, so why a new church plant? Why do we need another church? Aren't there enough churches in Indianapolis? And I'm going to give you the answer. But first, what I'd like to do is share some of the motivation, the why behind United City Church. And I want to take you to Holy Scripture. And so here's the first one. You probably heard this if you've been around the church for a while. Even if you haven't been around the church, you've probably heard this verse. It's from John 3:16 and verse 17. It says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So capture this. This is God. He looks down. He loves the world. That word is cosmos. He loves the entire cosmos and every human. He sends Jesus to come and rescue. And as we place our faith and trust and belief in Jesus, we start this new eternal life. That doesn't happen when we die. It happens right now. This eternal kind of life. It's a quality of life. It happens right now. And here's the deal. Jesus didn't come in to condemn all of you. He didn't come in to condemn all of your friends and your neighbors. He didn't come in to condemn Indianapolis. He came into the world to save the world, to save Indianapolis. And so here's our first motivation. We believe in Jesus. We both believe that he is who he says he is, but we also believe the good news about Jesus. We have a relationship with him, but we also believe the good news about Jesus. And here's the deal about good news for us. The gospel, that's what the gospel means. It means good news. Here's the deal. The gospel is good news for all people. Whether you're black or white, Hispanic, Asian, whether you're rich or poor, it's not a good news. It's not a gospel if it's not good news for all people. And we believe that good news, and that is what our primary, number one motivation for starting United City Church. The second is this. Let me set the scene. So Jesus has been teaching throughout the land. He is stirring up trouble for himself with two primary groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were kind of the ruling religious and moral authority at that time. And so he kind of dispensed of the Sadducees, and so the Pharisees come now, and they're going to question him. And here's what I want you to know this. Whenever you look at Scripture and you see anyone ask Jesus a question in public, that is always a confrontation. Because here's the deal. In an honor-shame culture, any kind of public question is a question of that person's honor. So it's dishonoring to ask that question. So the Pharisees come to Jesus, and they ask this question of him. Here's what they say: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Number one commandment, love God. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets, all of the Old Testament writings, Jesus says, hangs on these two commands. And really, it's part A and part B. So here's the deal. You know, way back, we had the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses, and then the Jews created all of these commandments. And so the Pharisees, at the time of Jesus, They had like 630 commandments. They had a little tassel for every commandment. So they're saying, hold on a second. You tell us which is the greatest of these 630 commands. And Jesus says it's to love God and to love people. And I want to tell you, our second primary motivation for starting United City Church is that we have responded to God's love. God loves us first. God loved the world. He sent Jesus. We love God and we love people. There's no greater motivation than love for people. We're not starting United City Church because we're ticked off at our old church. We're not starting United City Church because I think I can do church better than everyone else is doing church. We are starting United City because we love people. We care about people. We want to connect people to Jesus. And here's one of the cool things. That's the essence of Crosspoint's mission right there. To love God and to love people. Love is the most important thing, friends. And so our desire is not to go in the community and try to change the community and fix the community. Our desire is to go and love the community and show the love of Jesus Christ to Indianapolis. And here's the deal, to invite the people of Indy to meet Jesus. And that motivation is love. The third motivation for us comes from Matthew 28. So Jesus had been teaching, he's raised from the dead, he's about to ascend into heaven, and here's what he tells. These are his last words to his disciples. He says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So our third motivation for starting United City is obedience to Jesus. Jesus has given us, all of us, if you're a Christ follower, he has given all of us a command and a commission. It's been called the Great Commission, to go and make disciples and to baptize them. You're about to celebrate baptism in just a couple of weeks. That's saying, man, you're part of the family. You're baptized, you're in the church, you're in the family of God. So our third motivation is to obey Jesus. And here's what I want to tell you. Why another church? Why do we need another church? Let me tell you why. There is not another tool known to human beings that connects more people to Jesus, that makes more Christ followers, that baptizes more people. There is not another tool under heaven that does that better than new churches. There's nothing. It's not going to be a social media ad campaign. It's not going to be the Billy Graham Crusades of yesteryear. The best way to connect people to Jesus and to make disciples and to bring them into the family of God, new churches. The stats are clear on this. So let me just give you the rundown. If your church is about 3 years or younger, for every 100 people you have, okay, every 100 people you have, you will have about 10 people who place their faith in Jesus every year. Okay, so if you're 3 and under, about 10 people for every 100 will place their faith in Jesus every year. Now here's the sad part. As that church ages, so it goes from 3 to 5 to 10, between about the 10 and 15 year mark, those numbers for every 100, they drop down to about every 3. So every 100 people, you get about 3 new people who follow Jesus. So doing the Crosspoint math, we'd be looking at about 20 to 25 people would come to faith in Jesus every year. Now here's what is cool. Crosspoint, again, friends, you are an anomaly in this way as you baptize about 50 people per year. You have kept an outside focus, and that is absolutely critical if we are going to make disciples, obey Jesus, love Jesus, and show people that we believe in Jesus. But what happens is churches age, they begin to look inward. The focus begins to come on what we need rather than what those who are outside our walls, those we work with, our neighbors, what they need. And so new churches bring a revitalized sense of we have to make Christ followers. So that's one of the biggest reasons why we must plant churches. The only way that we are going to connect more people to Jesus is, the primary way we're going to connect people to Jesus is through new churches. You may be saying, okay, that sounds cool. Josh, tell me a little bit about what you are hoping to create. Well, first I want to show you a map of kind of our target area of where we want to actually launch our church. So if you see kind of inside the 465 loop, down to about 42nd Street, and up around College. This is the area that we want to launch our church. Now, most of our people, we've got about 22, 23 people on our adults on our launch team. They either come from downtown, midtown, or Fishers. So we thought this makes a lot of sense to connect right in the middle. But there's another reason, a deeper reason of why we're choosing this area to launch our church. And I want to show you something called the racial dot map. You can Google it if you're interested. Check this out. You start to see every white person is a blue dot, every black person is a green dot, Hispanics are orange, and Asians are red. And you start to see that as you come down, there is a much greater contrast of diversity in that circle. And that is one of the primary ways. Of course, we want to preach the gospel of Jesus, but one of the ways that we are going to do it is to be a multi-ethnic church, to be a diverse church. And I want to talk about multi-ethnicity, but also this. So we think about, yes, we want racial diversity, ethnic diversity, but also socioeconomic diversity. You see, right in that same area, there is a major transition between socioeconomic status and that in that racial dot map. We also want to be a church that is welcoming and is diverse of people who are in stages, whatever stage of faith that they are in. See, here's what we're looking at. So check this out. We hope to be giving a credible witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to give a credible witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ in an increasingly diverse and cynical world. Man, one of my buddies just posted yesterday, okay, tomorrow there's going to be churches all across this nation who are going to pray for school shootings and nothing is going to happen. Nothing's going to change. There is a level of cynicism that it is just at the top right now. But also, I want to say the diverse world is happening all around us. Did any of you guys watch the royal wedding yesterday? Did any of you? I didn't, but yeah, okay, we got a few, mostly ladies. So I hopped on though yesterday and everyone was posting about it. Just think about this. Think about this. United Kingdom, a prince. Who does he marry? A half black girl who's not from the aristocracy. She doesn't have a lot of money. She comes from a really plain family. They have an African American choir at the royal wedding. They have an African-American who helps to perform this ceremony. Friends, we live in an increasingly diverse world. Even a princess now of England is half black. So for us, we say we want to give a credible witness to the good news of Jesus because everyone is looking at Christians and saying, okay, are you actually going to do what you say you believe? Are you actually going to embody it? Are you actually going to live it out? And our heart is to do just that. So the phrase we use is unity in diversity. What if we could create unity in diversity? And we see this all over Scripture. John 17 is one of the best places. If you think about it, you want to make a note to read John 17. You'll see Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, Father, when all of those people, all of the Christians, is basically what he's talking about, when all the Christians live in unity, so follow the logic, all the Christians live in unity, all of those who are watching the Christians, they see they're living in unity, and they will believe that, Father, you sent me. So the way that people know that Jesus is real and the Son of God, this is Jesus' words, is that we, Christians, if you're a follower of Jesus, live in unity even though we are diverse. That's one of the ways that people know that Jesus is who he says he is. We're not looking just to create diversity, though, because there's a bit of a difference between inclusion and diversity. In diversity, sometimes we say, man, we want to look different, we want to be different, as long as you conform to the house. As long as you fit into what we are doing, you are welcome. And part of what we want to see, the nuance, is to say, man, what if we could have a diverse team that has a say in what we do so that we make space for all people? And it's not so much you have to just come and fit into my mold, but what if we have a diverse teaching team? Black, Hispanic, white, women. What if we make space for all people because all we are represented on our leadership by all those people? And here's what we see. We see in Revelation this future. And you know what it says? Revelation 7, it says, in the end, every nation, tribe, and tongue will worship together. They will all be worshiping together. So when we're in the new heaven and new earth, every nation, tribe, and tongue is worshiping. And so we ask this question. What if we could create that now? What if we could create just a bit of what it will be right now? This is the phrase we use, is kingdom trajectory. It is the way of the kingdom, the trajectory of the kingdom. We say, what if we could do that right now? And here I want to say, I know that Crosspoint's heart is to be a diverse and inclusive community. Now, there's a pretty dramatic difference between the map that I showed you where we're launching, where it's about 60% white, 30% African American, 5% Asian, 5% Hispanic, and Fishers, which is about 90% white. And I know that it is on the heart of the leadership in Crosspoint to be diverse and inclusive. So one of the things we are really passionate is, what if we could create that right now in this midst? What if we could have the humility of Jesus and create a community that is filled with hospitality? And here's, when we think of hospitality, we think of, man, my buddies come over and I hand them a beer right when they walk in the house. This is great hospitality. I'm going to cook dinner for them. But here's the deal. Biblical hospitality and ancient hospitality is different. Here's what it is. It says we'll invite all the strangers in. Doesn't matter what you look like. You see this way back with the guy named Abraham who he runs out and invites these strangers into his house. We say, what if we could create a community that has that kind of hospitality? Doesn't matter if you're a stranger, doesn't matter what you look like, we invite you all into this community. Now, if you're sitting there right now and you're feeling a bit of tug on your heart, that might be the Lord saying, I think your new frontier needs to be with United City. And that's what I'd just like to ask you. Is part of your new frontier joining the new frontier of United City Church? And if the Lord is working on your heart and you're just kind of feeling like, I think this might be what God is telling us that we need to do, what I'd like to do is just give you the four things that we ask from everyone who is on our launch team. Launch team, basically, the people who are going to help us get this thing started. So here are the four things. The first is this, to gather. It's pretty easy. You got to actually show up, right? It's pretty basic. Show up with us. Whenever we're doing events, as we're doing launch team meetings, you show up. You're a part of what we do. The second thing is this, you promote. You tell people about United City Church. Whether this is on Facebook, this is invites, is wearing United City swag, you are telling people about United City and you're promoting United City. The third thing is this, to serve. Our heart is to serve, of course, in our church, but also in our community. Also serve the city of Indianapolis. So we want everyone to be serving in the church. Everyone has a job. And also to say, man, I'm going to commit to serving outside of United City as well. And the last thing is this, that you contribute, financially contribute. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, your heart follows. As you put money into something, your heart follows it. Whether it's a car, a house, whatever it is, your hobby, your heart's going to follow that. You buy the golf clubs, I got to go play. I love this game, right? As you contribute to United City, your heart follows. We want everyone to have skin in the game. Nani and I, we quit our jobs. Sold our house in Fishers, moved to Indianapolis. We are all in. And we are trusting that God is going to raise up other people who say, man, I'm in with you. And so those are the four things that we would ask of you. If you are not feeling led, that is totally cool. Prayer is probably the biggest focus that we would ask you to pray. Kurt's going to be talking about that in just a second, and you'll be hearing other ways that you can partner with United City Church. Friends, I just want to say it's been such an honor to share with you and letting me share some of my passion and excitement for what God is doing in our hearts, in our community, in the city of Indianapolis. So thank you so much.
Thanks, brother. Hey, let's thank Josh. Holy cow, man. I want to go to United City Church. I get inspired when I hear really clear vision. Well, as we've been saying through the series, and even as I alluded to earlier, and Josh just shared, you know, we believe there are some of us here today that are a part of the Crosspoint community that God is calling to be a part of this new church. It's not going to be everybody, and so if you're like, yeah, that's not where my heart is, there's some other things I'll talk about in just a moment, but we want to be a sending church. We want to be helping people come to know Jesus, developing them, and then instead of just saying, let's keep everybody here to grow bigger and bigger, how do we send so we can reproduce and exponentially help the kingdom grow? And the only way that happens is when people, you know, come to Christ, they get built up, get built into, and then they respond and are obedient, just like Josh and his wife are being obedient. In fact, that's why Crosspoint's here. We're here because this is the very same process we went through when we launched Crosspoint. A handful of you here were part of our original launch team, the original team that some of you came from the church that we launched out of. You've gone through this process. We've sent people to Pendleton, you know, 8-9 years ago, and we launched Catalyst. And so this is just how the kingdom goes forward, but it's very rare, as Josh said. So if you're feeling a tug, if it is you've been in here today and you've been just feeling a bit of like God saying, hey, maybe you need to consider being a part of this, then I just want to ask you to be obedient to that tug. And the way that you do that is on the back of your connection card, there's some next steps. I want you to just take these out and you can look at the back side. First one is just, you know, return next weekend. If you're here and you want to return next weekend, awesome. We love that. But second, you know, I'm interested in attending a United City launch team gathering. You mark that box, and Josh will get your email and contact information this week, and you will be invited to go hear more. It's not tying in. It's not, you know, saying I'm 100% in. It's just saying I'm going to go find out more and see and discern if God is calling me to be a part of this. And so if you've had any of that tug, I just encourage you to be obedient to marking that box today and at least considering if God wants you to be a part of this team. Now, if that's not you, and while we believe that God is going to be sending a number of us from Crosspoint, we realize not everybody's going to go. And that's totally cool. There's going to be holes here. There's going to be volunteer opportunities that are vacated here because people that are key people serving and leading are going to be going to help the new team. There's going to be opportunities for you here to step up and say, I'm going to bolster what's happening here so Crosspoint can continue to go forward. So there's going to be opportunities for you to be a part of this serving here. There's going to be opportunities financially to say, hey, you know, we're sending a whole bunch of money out the door. How can we continue to fuel what God's doing here? And so another opportunity, though, where you can actively be a part of United City is to say, hey, I don't feel like God's calling me to go be a part of the team. I live here in Fishers. I'm planted here. I'm having influence in my neighborhood. I'm right around the corner, whatever it might be. God's not calling me, but I am happy to serve down there if ever needed. And so third box is I'm interested in short-term volunteering, if not volunteering here at Crosspoint. So say you're serving kids or in the band or, you know, hospitality or somewhere around here. And if you're not on a weekend here, we want to have a list that we can tap into to send you down to United City for a weekend if extra volunteers are needed at United City. We were helped this way when Crosspoint launched. It was a huge blessing. And so you can sleep in your own bed and, you know, stay connected here, and yet you can still be a part of the mission. And then third, and I hope all of us would consider this, is to pray daily for United City Church, for Josh, for his family, for the leadership that's beginning to form around this new work. I'm going to tell you what, we were in a board meeting this week, and I love, and I know for Josh, he's a little more tense, you know, as he's in this tension of we need more people, and they're gaining traction, and yet you see so much more that has to happen. I love that. I remember what that was like for us. As he said, this is where faith grows. And yet, it also causes us to be immensely dependent on God's favor. And so prayer is one of the things. I mean, hell is taking notice because a new church community is about ready to make a kingdom dent, is already making a kingdom dent in the greater Indianapolis area. And so the only way we continue to push against those forces that don't want this thing to go forward is through prayer. So if you want to join the prayer team, you can mark that. And as updates begin to be sent later on this year, you can be in the loop on how to specifically pray for the leadership and for United City. And so these are some of the ways that, we just believe if we are going to be a sending culture, that we can be a part of what God is doing. And so I'm just going to pray that you will respond appropriately based on whatever God is saying to you today. So let's stand, and you can mark your next step before you leave today if you haven't already done so. And let me just pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this vision for a brand new community. I mean, it's so exciting. Not only is it something new, but it's something that's needed. And God, it's something that's giving a better picture to a world that's increasingly broken and cynical of what it looks like to live the way that you designed us to live. And so, God, we just pray that you continue to prepare the way with all the details, all the things that have to happen over the next 5 months as United City prepares and equips the team. And, God, for those of us who are in this room right now whom you're nudging to at least consider being a part of the team, God, I just pray that you would help us to know what to do. I pray that you'd help us to be obedient to that. God, for those of us who are saying, hey, man, as we send people, I need to step up here. I need to step up in my giving of my time and giving of my money to fuel the mission at Crosspoint, and I want to be a part of that solution. We're saying, God, I just want to commit myself to praying and being a part of kingdom things by praying for favor in this. God, there's an opportunity for all of us to be a part of this. And one of the crazy things that blows me away, and it's why I love talking about New Frontiers, is because you actually invite us into your business. You actually invite us to be a part of the very work you're doing right here in our midst. And so God, help us to see how we can be a part of it, we pray. And we thank you. We thank you that the kingdom is moving forward and that you think of us and invite us into it. We pray these things according to your name and your identity, Jesus. Amen. Hey, let's thank Josh again. Holy cow. Great, great, great message today. Awesome vision. The kingdom is moving forward. So we're going to sing one more song. Mark's going to lead us on how we together can change the world. So let's sing together.